Action on the agenda. And as we have done in the past, we will take some questions from the audience here or comments. And if there are questions that come in via the web, we'll deal with those. So I will open it up to anyone in the audience. Maggie.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Maggie Raymond, Associated Fisheries of Maine. Last February, you may recall, the council asked the agency to expedite our request for an exemption from the mesh requirements in order to target redfish. And 8 months later, we have a proposed rule, and we have some issues with the proposed rule. And I think that there is at least one issue with the proposed rule that the council may want to weigh in on. Unfortunately, we have an expedited comment period, and the comment period closes on November 26, so I'm not sure when the council would have an opportunity to weigh in on this. But I would like to raise our concern about how the agency is proposing that the industry-funded observer requirement be implemented in this rule. Specifically, it says vessels enrolled in a sector that has an approved industry-funded monitoring program would forfeit the opportunity to have a federally funded observer or at-sea monitor assigned for coverage. And additionally, once a sector has an approved at-sea monitoring program for targeted redfish trips, the sector may not opt out of that program until the following fishing year. So first of all, this requirement to forfeit the opportunity for a NEFOP observer is inconsistent with how the council drafted Amendment 16, in which it said in an industry-funded monitoring program, in the event that the industry was assigned a NEFOP observer, that the industry-funded observer would stand down. So it's not consistent with Amendment 16, and I think it has a broader impact as well on other industry-funded programs that you have brought forward and may bring forward for other fisheries. It reflects, to me, an inability for the agency to figure out how to cost share, and I find that troublesome. Also, I've asked for clarification with the staff, and it would not allow a subset of a sector, for example, say there were six or eight people within our sector who were willing to fund an industry-funded observer program. It doesn't allow the other people in the sector to opt into the optional program, which would be when they were assigned an observer, they could use the smaller mesh. So it would essentially force everybody in our sector to use the industry-funded program, which would essentially make it unworkable for our sector. So, first of all, you know, I have been working with the Northeast Fisheries sectors, who three or four of them have applied for this exemption as well, and we've been trying to coordinate our comments, and between this meeting and next week being a holiday week, I'm not sure that we're going to be able to accomplish that. So we were hoping for maybe a short extension of the comment period on this. But if the council thinks that they should weigh in on this industry-funded observer issue, maybe I'm not sure when you could do that. Maybe if there were time under other business, and if people wanted to think about it over the next day or so, you could support our concerns about the way it's structured, or alternatively, maybe charge the Groundfish Committee with developing some comments on the proposed rule if there is a short extension of the comment period. So that's it. Again, I think that this has broader implications to industry-funded monitoring programs, and the way this is structured right now, it's just not going to work if this proposed rule stands. I don't see anybody being able to really make this work. And again, this is, you know, we thought was going to be one of the mitigation opportunities for the groundfish cuts. But if this stands the way it is, that's not going to work. Thank you.
Well, may I just ask? I can't really comment on it. First of all, I don't pretend to remember all the details you're talking about. Secondly, we're in rulemaking. But could I get some idea how long a comment period extension you'd be looking for? That might be helpful to know.
Thank you. From our point of view, you know, we could probably, a five-day extension would probably, you know, work for us. I just don't know if the council wants to weigh in on this as well, which I hope they do, in support of the concerns that I've raised, if that would work for the council. So at this point, the summer fishery is, you know, I mean, we needed this exemption this summer, and it really is a summer fishery because redfish are only on the bottom during daylight hours, so the more daylight hours you have, the better chance you have of prosecuting this fishery. So at this point, I'm not sure how much use would be even be made of it in this fishing year. I think we need to get it right. So whatever it takes for us to weigh in, we could do that with an additional 5 days, but I don't know what the council's needs are.
Just a comment and thinking about your suggestion that the groundfish committee do something. The five-day extension is just not going to do it. Even if we decided tomorrow to do something, we'd have to figure out when we can hold the meeting and be 23-day notice. So that's probably not going to work. It may be that the council itself, under other business, depending on sort of where we are with it at that point, might be able to make some sort of recommendation to the regional administrator concerning this.
I know that you're in rulemaking and you can't talk about the rule when you're in rulemaking, but I guess I'll never understand why when these have these exemption requests, why there can't be more dialogue between the agency and the industry about, you know, how you're thinking about implementing this, because you know, these problems arise with the implementation, and you know, it's just difficult to correct things after the fact. So that's just another issue. Thanks.
Mary Beth.
Thank you. I don't think I really have a lot to add to your comments. I mean, I do think if there's an opportunity for the council to weigh in, that's really important. There are two things. One is it consistent with Amendment 16, and if we have staff available in time tomorrow, we could ask that question, which doesn't mean that they will have an answer, but it would give us an idea. And then the other is it the right thing to do given the intent of the measure, which is hopefully mitigation for the groundfish industry. So we have for the next day or so an opportunity to figure out the best path forward, and I think we should be doing that.
Anyone else have a comment on this? From the council?
Just one more thing, Mr. Chairman. There is, I believe you are scheduling another groundfish committee meeting before the December 20th special council meeting. I don't know if that date has been set yet or not. So that may be, if it doesn't work out, that the council can, you know, provide comments during this meeting, perhaps the council could charge the groundfish committee to make comments during that meeting, and that would give some idea of what time frame we need as well. Thank you.
Is there anyone else in the audience with something that they'd like to bring before us? Comments? Thoughts? Complaints?
Praises?
Oh, but Paul wanted to know if he had any praises for us. That was a foolish. Do we have anybody online? No? Very, very quiet audience tonight. Before I call adjournment, I think everybody got a notification, but I will carry the Fishery Survival Fund's water for a moment here and indicate that in the atrium, starting at 5:30, is a presentation that they're going to do concerning Georges Bank yellowtail flounder and the incidental catch avoidance. And you're all welcome to attend. We start at 8:30 tomorrow morning. And thank you, everyone, for your work today.